It's an encouragement. It's encouraging to hear about Zach. I've been praying for him for a long time. It's hard, right? Life is hard sometimes. But we have a God in heaven who loves us, who is in control, who is sovereign, who knows what he is doing. Jenny Bianca found, was it this week? Her anniversary, well, birthday ring that had been lost for about 6 months. We couldn't find it anywhere. Somehow it ended up on the basement floor from our bedroom. We have no idea how. It just suddenly, she picked it up and there it was. And it's one of those things where you're discouraged about what's happening in your life, and then something like that, and you're praying about it and saying, well, it's just a thing. But God is a good God. And he loves us and cares for us and wants what's best for us. And all things work together for good. But we hit with sometimes things this week, like being sick all week. That was my week. And we lose focus and we get caught up in this world's things. And then God kind of smacks us. Get your perspective right. And our perspective changes. And we start thinking correctly. I hope. It's funny, we're doing Psalm 23 this morning. Does anybody know why? I chose it probably a month ago when I was going through what I wanted to preach on over the next few weeks. And I got to Thanksgiving, and I went, huh, I kind of want to do Psalm 23. But it is not a Thanksgiving psalm at all. Not really. There's a lot of psalms of Thanksgiving. And I was sitting there saying, Bianca, do you think that's weird? And she's like, no, it'll kind of work. You know, it's a neat psalm. It's what we can be thankful for. I felt like we should do it. I think Psalm 23 is very, very appropriate for this week. Everything that's gone on. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 23, I'm so glad that the Lord led me here all those weeks ago. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help me to correctly present your word, and help us to rejoice in who you are and have a correct understanding of who you are. And live our lives focused upon you and what you would have us do. Thank you for the blessings you give us. And just continually showing that you love us and care for us. You're our Father. And you take care of us and shower your grace upon us. Bless the service this morning. In your name, amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Now that picture is not real familiar to me. I don't know very many shepherds. If you lived during this time period, it would have been familiar. There are tons of shepherds around. I go to the petting zoo. Bianca likes the little goats, you know, the tiny goats that jump on things. She loves those. We get to pet them. Sheep I don't like as much. They're kind of stinky. And, you know, if you ever see the sheep at the petting zoo, they're not the best. But that's sheep. That's all I know. I had a friend who used to raise them for 4-H. He raised one. He hated it. he would sell it at the fair and make some money. But the sheep was always just doing really silly things. He would tell me stories just hating life, basically, because he was up all night trying to save the sheep's life or because the sheep did something else that it shouldn't have done. But that was his life. That's what I know about sheep. They aren't real smart, and they're annoying, and they stink. And he eventually gave it up. Shepherds continually have to deal with a bunch of sheep. I've seen some documentaries. Basically, they guide the sheep. They clean the sheep. The sheep are always getting parasites and different things on them. They're having to constantly fix that. Sheep aren't smart. They need constant care. And the shepherd cares for the sheep, takes care of the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. This is the picture being painted in this psalm. He leads me. He protects me. He cares for me. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is talking about the sheep and the gate, and he's using this illustration. And in John 10, you can turn there if you'd like, John 10, verse 11, he continues with this picture of a shepherd. And we get a small glimpse of the type of shepherd we have in Christ. It says in John 10, verse 11, Jesus is talking. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own knows me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Now, most of you are probably familiar with that passage. When if you thought the idea, the good shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, and he is a good shepherd. He protects the sheep. He cares for them and protects them from the wolves. I'm always fascinated when, if you're reading David's life story, and David was this young boy, you know, he watched his dad's sheep, and he grows up, and he's still fairly young, and he's going to fight Goliath, and he's talking to Saul, and Saul's like, "You can't do this," and he says, "Hey, I'm David. I watched my dad's sheep. A lion came, and a bear came, and they went after me, you know, and I protected them." If I was a teenager and I was watching sheep and a bear came, I'd run. You have the sheep. But David sat there and he protected him. He was a good shepherd. My friend who raised that 4-H sheep that he sold at the fair didn't like sacrificing his sleep. He would definitely not sacrifice his life for that sheep. But the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. What did Christ do for me? The Lord is my shepherd. He is the good shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but you now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." He bore my sins on the tree. He died on the cross for me. 1 Peter 5:4 says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." He made it possible so I have a home in heaven. Christ bore Frank's sin. He paid the price. So where is Frank today? In heaven. Because of what Christ did. Because Christ laid down his life for Frank. He is a good shepherd. He searches for the lost sheep. He just doesn't leave me to wander around. He takes care of me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The idea is to lack nothing. God will provide what I need. This idea is repeated multiple times throughout Scripture. God will provide what I need. Paul says in Philippians, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Does God not have enough to give? God has everything. He will supply all your needs. Jesus is talking in Matthew, and he says this, "Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." What do I need? God will supply. It's hard sometimes because we get caught up in things in this world and we go, "I need to do this, I need to do that. This is coming, that's coming. What do I do?" We don't look to God and say, "God will give what we need. I shall not want." I think we sometimes act like my dog, Molly. When we order a pizza, Molly thinks we ordered a pizza for her too. She sits there in front of us, sitting and looking with those eyes, "Why aren't you feeding me pizza?" She thinks she needs it. Does she? Definitely not. God will supply our needs. Sheep aren't smart. They often don't know what they need. God knows. Do you think God doesn't know? I think we sometimes have a misunderstanding of God. We're sitting there and we're struggling through the week, or we're struggling with things, and we go, "Doesn't God understand?" Yes, he does. We're like Molly sitting in front of Bianca saying, "Please give me a piece of pizza." God knows. In fact, sometimes Molly gets pizza because Bianca loves Molly. But God loves us and knows exactly what we need. He knows it all. He is a loving God who understands. He loves me. He loves you. And as my shepherd, he will provide. How can I know this? Romans 8 says this, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" Think about that for a second. He willingly gave his life for us. Willingly. He loves us. He gave his life for us. God will take care of us. He'll take care of our needs. I shall not want. But we're often like the horse who's sitting trying to reach the grass on the other side of the fence. When there's grass all over there. But they're trying to get the grass on the other side of the fence. We watched a little show, a cartoon, Doug Days on Disney. It's a little short cartoon. It's about a dog. And it's interesting, this dog was scared to death of fireworks. And it was very reminiscent of what we experience whenever fireworks go off. Our dog runs around the house scared to death. She doesn't understand fireworks. They're scary. She doesn't see that the explosions, they're way far away. They won't hurt her. In fact, if we put a bag, like bringing groceries, and put a bag in front of the door, she doesn't want to go out because the bag looks different and is scary. Our dog is a little spoiled. So, but why? She doesn't understand the bag. A shepherd taking the sheep on the right path, do you think the sheep understands where it's going? No. Sheep are dumb. They don't get it. They don't see the big picture. They don't see if you cross this path, you get to the grass. But the shepherd is guiding the sheep. We do not often understand the big picture of what's happening. We don't get it. God sees it. He's the shepherd and the good shepherd. So I can know, remember that passage in Romans 8 I just read, 8:31 and 32, graciously he gives us all things. He didn't spare his own son. What does it say? A couple verses ahead, Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. It will work together for good. For the glory of God. I'm so thankful that he supplies all I need. I know he is in control and it will work together for good. I just need to trust him. The psalmist continues with this picture and the idea of him supplying here. In verse 2 of chapter 23, he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. What do sheep need? Green pastures, still waters. The picture here is not probably as much of the lake, but the idea more of a resting, a lush resting place, taking care of something. You're giving it what it needs. That's a picture he's painting here. It's me getting up in the morning. I didn't raise a sheep. I did raise a calf, not for 4-H. But I get up before school, go out with the bottle of milk, and feed that calf. That calf needed that milk. If anybody's ever done that before, that calf knows exactly what it wants, and it needs it. And I knew what that cow needed. God knows our needs. He knows our trials. He knows our cares. He will supply. He will comfort. He will lead us where we need to go. When we face the trials of this world, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He cares for me as a father. He cares for us. I am thankful that I will never be abandoned, that my God restores my soul, that it keeps me on the right path. But that path is not always clear. Sometimes it's difficult to know what to do next. Sometimes there's things that come around where we go, what do we do? Sometimes it's hard because we see trials that come and the righteous path goes through very difficult places. And all of us in life have been in that path and hit those difficult places. Verse 4, Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I've sat in many, many doctors' offices and post or pre-surgery rooms and sitting there waiting. Sat with people, and I've sat there myself. And you're sitting there waiting, and you don't know. You're going to sleep. You may not wake up. You don't know what's going to happen when you wake up if you do. And you don't know what's coming next. And there's a shadow sometimes, and Satan attacks. It reminds me of the Valley of Humiliation in Pilgrim's Progress. And if you haven't read that yet, I encourage you to read it. But you're sitting there and Satan attacks. I will fear no evil. Tell you, in those rooms, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd have no idea what I'd do. Because I sit there and I go, I have a God who loves me, who is my shepherd, and I am saved, and I am on my way to heaven no matter what. I have hope. So even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for God is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Sometimes it feels like the world itself is attacking you, and it is. Paul says this in 2 Timothy. He is close to death. He is going to be killed. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, he says, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We are on a journey to a heavenly kingdom. That's where we're going. That is our ultimate destination on this path. We're on our way to heaven, and the Good Shepherd is leading us there. And there is nothing to fear because the Lord stands by me. Hebrews 13 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We can say confidently, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? My shepherd will not forsake me. He is the good shepherd. He gave his life for me. What can humans do to me? What's the worst that can happen? I may end up in heaven. 1 Corinthians 15 says, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death and sin and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is with me. The picture of the rod and staff, if you've Most of you have probably heard at least one or two sermons on Psalm 23. A lot is made of the rod and the staff. And basically the picture is the staff guides and the rod protects. It's what a shepherd carried. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What happens when there's fireworks at the house? The dog runs around trying to hide, or whose lap does she jump in? She doesn't jump in Bianca's lap most of the time. She jumps in Bianca's lap when she's sick or if she wants to hide from me. When she's scared, she jumps in my lap. She thinks somehow I'm the alpha and that I will protect her from the loud noise. She hides in my arms because she thinks I will protect her. I am in the arms of my Father in heaven. His staff pulls me away from the dangers. His rod protects me when the lions come. He guides me through the dangerous places. That is my God. That is my shepherd. I am so thankful that I have a God who guides me and protects me, who helps me along the way, who I can trust, who loves me. The metaphor switches in verse 5. It's basically talking, it switches, there's this debate, some people think it's still sheep, but I don't think they sit at a table. So, but the metaphor seems to switch to a guest, a host taking care of a guest. In verse 5, he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." The picture is a victory feast before the captured enemies, possibly, or even preparing a meal despite the enemies around you. Either way, we have enemies in this world. It does not stop God from preparing the table. He still provides what we need. When I go to California, when I walk into my mom's house, I'm going to end up in a seat with tea, and she'll start feeding me. Food will start coming. And whatever I want. Because she loves and cares and wants to give me everything. God prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil, my cup overflows. He loves me. God loves you. He heaps upon us goodness. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Chesed. Never pronounce it right. That's the word here. Goodness and mercy. If you ever want to do like a word study, do a word study on this word. What does it mean? Probably it talks so broad, but it's God's faithfulness. I think one of the best, which I, a long time ago I wrote a paper on it, I think one of the best translations would be God's steadfast love. It's used in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." It is the love that never fails. It's tied to the covenant relationship. It's the idea, it is there, it is faithful. God's goodness and steadfast love will always be with me. It pursues me throughout my life. It is always there. For this, I am so thankful. We've had some sad days. Pam is sad, rightfully so. And we are weeping with her. But God's goodness and steadfast love will never fail. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I have eternity with God. I am going to meet Frank someday. Go back, have another conversation. I will be with him forever. I'll be with God, my good shepherd, who is guiding me on the path that I need to go. I can go through this life. I can go through the paths, the trials, the struggles, the lions, because I know I have a good shepherd I rejoice and I am thankful. For where I am in Him, my salvation. Let's praise God together and rejoice in Him, even though right now it's a time of struggle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love, your faithfulness, the salvation you have provided so that we have nothing to fear. Help us to bring glory to you as we walk this path in life, and that the things that are struggles, that we will turn to you and rely upon you, knowing that you love us and care for us. Please help Pam and the family right now as they are sad. And it's hard because they're going to miss Frank. But help them also to realize that he is in heaven. He is with you for all eternity. And give them comfort. Help us glorify you this week. In your name, amen.